Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we're thinking about a lesson learned from the conversion of Saul when he met Christ on the Damascus Road. And it seems strangely appropriate. The title of tonight's sermon is Can You Hear? And it's all about the voice of Jesus. Saul hearing the voice of Jesus. I say it's oddly appropriate because it feels like I'm losing my voice. I don't know if you can tell. It doesn't seem quite as strong as it normally does to me. Certainly not when I'm singing, but we'll go on as the Lord allows. We're in chapter 9, and we'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 22 of the chapter. So we have the overview, and then we'll start to talk about the context and get into what we're looking at. In verse 1 it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So now that we've read Acts 22 in our scripture reading, and this passage here in Acts 9, I think you have a good overview of the conversion of Saul there on the Damascus Road. Remember that his conversion is not just a sudden experience. There was a preamble, if you will. Remember that Jesus had said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Jesus had been goading Saul. He had been poking him. He'd been poking him with his word. He'd been poking him with his people to show him that he was a sinner in need of a savior. And over the course of the time that Saul is persecuting Stephen and the churches and the people, over the course of that time, we don't know exactly how long it is, but we think it's probably about 2 years. He is hearing the word of God, and he's seeing the results of his persecution on the faces of Christians. And this is striking him in his conscience. And then finally on the Damascus Road is when he meets Christ. And that conviction is brought to the fore. And he sees a light from heaven and he hears the words of Christ. And he tells him, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks because this is Jesus whom you're persecuting. And Saul says, what should I do? And he says, go into Damascus, and it'll be shown you what you should do. You know, Ananias is going to tell him there what he's going to be doing, and then he's going to find out more information as well. Now, it's interesting because after this happens, it says in verse 7, the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Saul saw Jesus. It's hard to say those two words in connection. But he physically saw Christ. The men which journeyed with him, they didn't see Jesus. They just heard a voice. And that's what it tells us there in Acts chapter 9. Now, if you were paying attention, and I forgive you if you didn't notice this little difference between the two accounts, but in Acts chapter 9, it says they heard hearing a voice but seeing no man. But when Paul is giving his account in Acts 22, he's there in Jerusalem before the council, and he's giving his account of his conversion. And it says, he is telling the Jews there, and he says, and they that were with me saw indeed the light. They didn't see Jesus, but they saw the light of Christ, and they were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. You say, well, wait a second. That seems like it doesn't make sense. It seems like there's an error there. Because in Acts chapter 9, it says that they didn't hear the voice. But in Acts chapter 22, Paul says in Acts chapter 9, they heard the voice but didn't understand. In Acts chapter 22, they didn't hear the voice. And you say, well, what's that contradiction? Well, the contradiction is the point of our message tonight. That's the whole theme of what we want to think about. It is this idea about hearing. The Greek word here is phoné. It's where we get telephone from. It's to hear something. It's a sound, a tone, a speech, a voice, or a natural sound. It's not your ear hearing, but it's the actual noise that's made is phone. That's where it comes from. And the context depends on how it's translated. So in Revelation 1, it tells us his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And that's how strong the voice of Christ was there in Revelation 1. You see, Saul, he heard the voice of Jesus, and he understood the voice of Jesus. He heard the words. Just like you're hearing me speak now, and hopefully you understand what I say. He heard them. And he heard exactly why. Because Jesus was speaking to Saul. That's who he was speaking to. But to the men that were around, what did they hear? They heard nothing. In the sense of reality, they heard the noise. They heard the noise of the words, but they didn't make sense because Jesus wasn't speaking to them. Jesus wasn't opening their heart at that moment. Jesus wasn't their shepherd. They were not the sheep that he was gathering in. Saul was. And he heard his voice. And I think you can see exactly where I'm going with this. You see, it's a fulfillment of prophecy that Saul heard the voice of Jesus, and those that were with him didn't hear the voice of Jesus. You say, well, I don't remember a prophecy like that. Well, hopefully I'll point it out to you. It's Jesus prophesying about his own voice. It's what he has to say. In John chapter 6, he says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. If you're a Christian today, it is because you have heard Jesus. You have been taught by God. It's him teaching you. Now, certainly, you may have heard it from the voice of a man like me or a woman or whomever else. Someone else was the actual voice. But that voice was God teaching you. God was teaching you. And he says, you're learning from the Father. Specifically from the Father. He is the teacher. He is the one that is proclaiming all things through his Son. It's a gift from him, from the Father, to be able to hear what Jesus has to say through the Spirit of God. Look, think about this from John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he called his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake to them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus says, He is the good shepherd, and His sheep hear His voice. Now that doesn't mean that I have audibly heard the words of Jesus, the voice of Jesus speaking. I haven't. And I don't want anyone going away thinking, well, if I haven't heard Jesus' voice, then I'm not one of His sheep. That's not what He's talking about. But when you hear the Word of God, and you believe that it is true and that it is His, what you're hearing is the voice of Jesus. That's what you're hearing. And you believe that it's true. And that's how you can tell between the good shepherd, one of His under-shepherds, and one of the false shepherds. One of the hirelings, one of the ones that come in and one of the robbers. You can tell because of whether or not they're speaking the Word of God. And you hear His voice or not. That's how you determine it. Jesus says He calls His sheep by name. He leads His sheep. The sheep follow Jesus. They know the voice of Jesus. If you hear the voice of Jesus, you shall be saved. That's a glorious thing. Again, it's not the audible voice like you're listening to me now. It's understanding that Jesus is speaking through His Word. Jesus is speaking through His people, and you hear and you believe the truth of His Word. And you understand that's the voice of Christ. That's who's speaking to you. And you understand that He's laid down His life for you. That's what's going on. He even says to the Jews later on in the same chapter, He says, You don't believe me. You don't believe the works that I've done because you're not my sheep. He says it plainly to them. You're not my sheep. I didn't come for you. I came for my sheep. They're going to hear me. And they're going to follow me. Because I'm the good shepherd. You know, our dog is sitting here tonight. And she hears our voices. The voices that are familiar to her. When we call her, she's going to come. That's what she does. It's always been a fun thing on a walk where one of us will get far ahead and you call the dog and the dog runs up to you. And then the other person calls the dog and the dog runs back and forth and tires her out. It's great. But she understands our voices because she recognizes them and follows them. And sheep are no different than that. And we're no different than sheep. We recognize the voice of Jesus through His Word and through the truth that is put within there. And that's the wonderful thing of it. And we're His sheep. We belong to Him. There's no one that can take us away from Him because we're the sheep of Jesus Christ. There's a belonging there. There's never a departure. There's nothing that can take us out of His hand. We are in His hand forever. And that's the thing that we need to remember about being His sheep. It's a glorious place to be. It's not a fearful place. We don't have to worry about the wolves. It doesn't matter what they do to us physically. It doesn't matter what they do to us emotionally. They can never take away our good shepherd. And then He's the one that's going to care for us above all things. You see, the seeming contradiction of Acts chapter 9, verse 7, and Acts chapter 22, verse 9, is the bearing out of the sheep hearing the voice of Jesus. That's exactly what's happening. Saul heard His voice. And he had a conversation with them because he was a sheep of the Lord. The men that were with Saul, they didn't hear a thing. We don't know their names. We don't know their history. We don't know whatever happens to them. But they didn't hear Jesus. We know that. It's plain and clear. They didn't hear him. Do we hear Christ? Do you hear him? Do you hear him not because I'm anything special, but when I'm speaking, do you hear Christ? When other people are speaking and reading God's word, do you hear Jesus? Do you feel that longing and that calling from the Good Shepherd to follow him, to be his sheep? Because he's telling us what he'd like us to do. He tells Saul, I always do that. He tells Saul, I want you to go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. And he gets some information, but then he gets a little more information, and he gets a little more information as time goes on. And thankfully, he doesn't give it to us all at once. Because if he did, at least I would be a big bucket of goo over there, because I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle what was coming. And so he just gives me a little bit here, a little bit there. Because he knows my weakness and my frailty. Because he's a loving shepherd. He's a loving shepherd and does what's necessary for us. He says in John chapter 12 to his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. You want to know whether someone is speaking the words of Christ, is speaking for Christ? Who are they glorifying? Are they glorifying themselves? Are they glorifying something on this earth? Or are they glorifying Jesus Christ? Because the Spirit whom Jesus sent, he glorifies Jesus Christ. That's what he does in teaching us. That's what he does in illuminating us and in helping us to understand the words of Christ. He's glorifying Jesus. Not glorifying himself. He's certainly not glorifying me. He's not glorifying you. He's glorifying Christ. That's what it's all about. And when someone stands up and they start to glorify themselves and say, look how great I am, don't listen to them. Because that's not what the Spirit does, and that's not what Jesus did. It's about glorifying Christ, not glorifying self. The Spirit speaks on Jesus' behalf, and each minister of the gospel ought to be doing the same exact thing. Speaking on the behalf of Christ, the things of Christ. He says wonderful things. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can't give anybody rest. I can't even give myself rest. No, Jesus is the one who gives rest, and that's eternal rest. He says, come unto me. No, there's no church that can give you the answer. It's Christ alone. He's the only one. In John 3, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He's pointing the way to Christ. He's pointing the way to salvation. He's saying, come by me. Later on, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's either exactly who he says he is, or he's a charlatan and clinically insane. Because he claims to be God. And he claims to be the only way to heaven. The only way to eternity. Peace with God. He's either right, or we shouldn't even be here. We shouldn't even be paying attention to this. But we hear the voice of Jesus. We say it's true. He's the good shepherd. He's right. And all praise goes to him. And so he speaks. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his spirit. He speaks through his people. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Sometimes he's pricking us. He is still small voice to Elijah on the mount. But it was the pricks to Saul. Sometimes you need to be beaten back into the way, and sometimes it's a nice gentle fan to flame that spirit that's within you. He's going to do what's necessary because he's the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep, and his sheep will hear him and will follow. That's the thing about it. You see someone who claims to be a Christian and they stray, and they never come back. Guess what? They weren't a Christian, were they? Because they never came back. Because his sheep hear his voice. They know him and they follow him. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect. But what happens is when we stray, he brings us back again. Because we're his and we belong to him. That's the way he works. That's the way he does it. And he's going to continue to do that for his people. Because we're his, we belong to Jesus Christ. And so the Lord speaks. And the question is, can we hear him? Do you hear Jesus? Do you hear Jesus in his word? Do you hear Jesus in the songs that you sing? Do you hear Jesus in the fellowship of believers? Because all these things should be pointing to Christ and glorifying Christ. And then you go away and you say, I spent time with Jesus. Isn't it glorious? Earlier in the book of Acts, the Jews say to James, to Peter and John, they say, you guys have to stop this. You have to stop all this nonsense, right? And they say, they go away and they're thankful that they had actually been persecuted for Jesus' sake. And they keep preaching. And they come back and they say, these guys, we recognize them, that they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. And the question comes, do you hear him? And have you been with him? Can people recognize that you've been with Jesus? Again, he's not standing here. But you know what I mean, don't you? Spiritually, have you been with Jesus? Are you one of his sheep? Do you hear his voice? I hope that you are. We point you to him tonight. Amen.